welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you, sir.
We had the opportunity to interview Dr. Shankar back in, and I'll fill that in because I don't remember the exact date, but I think it was July. And at that time, we had a bad recording. We had a series of events that occurred. Power went out. We had to re-record. I had to change phones and call back. And so we ended up with this really poor recording. However, evolution of mind is something that requires both a good recording and another conversation. And Dr. Shankar was kind enough to come here during his visit to the United States so we could sit down in studio and do this recording all over again. So I'd like to start from the beginning, if you don't mind, sir, is that what makes Evolution of Mind an important book to read for people to understand their own life?
Well, that's a good question. And it's very obvious. Answer is very obvious. Man has come to know and he accepts that his body has evolved from very rudimentary stages. The evolution of his body, as well as any species that lives on this planet Earth, he has come to understand that they have evolved, and their evolvement does not require, or is man not required for their evolvement. Therefore, if man's body, as well as any species known to man, has evolved, it is but natural and logical that his mind too must have evolved within him. And it could not have been man who made mind to grow into him. If man were the one who has made his mind, I'm sure he would have made it the way he would like it to be. Therefore, it is important in this century that man understands and realizes that his mind too has evolved within him in a very rhythmic, sure and spontaneous and precise manner, just as how any species has done.
I have a question back to what you said. How can we say today that man has not evolved their mind the way they wanted it to be? Because it would seem to me that we've done exactly that. We've kind of created the beast as we thought it needed to be. And maybe it's not the beast it should be.
Take a man, for example. Why the beast? Man is not happy with another man. Man is not happy with himself. Man is not happy with his family. Man is not happy with his friends, with his neighbors, with his relatives. Every moment of the day, right through he lives. If he was the one who has created his mind, he would have made it the way that he would have liked everyone who lives around him. He would be peaceful every moment. He would not be annoyed or worried or anxious or fearful.
But we revel in that. I mean, man drives themselves. We drive ourselves to be anxious and stressed and be important because we have all these things going on.
Yes, man may say he loves it, but does he really? He says, oh my goodness, I've had a stressful day. I wish I never had this day before. He is vexed, he's fuming, he's in bits and pieces.
Yes.
And that he says he drives. If he drives for it, and if it is what it is he has invented, he should be happy about it. Why should he long for happiness then?
It seems to me we don't understand that happiness is something we can create. We believe it's something that comes to us. So based on that expectation, we expect all the other things to drive us to happiness.
Yes, man needs to understand that he doesn't drive anything. Everything gets driven for him, including his mind. Therefore, his longing for happiness is also a drive by life for man, mm-hmm. so that he may realize all that drives him to search for his happiness is not that which is happiness at all. It is just momentary happiness. It's soon replaced by momentary sadness too.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, man really wants happiness. Happiness should be present every moment of the day. Man needs to understand he should be happy in the present.
Mm-hmm.
But the paradox is, to man, he has not realized what the present is.
You know, we had the opportunity for those listening to speak a little bit before we came into the studio. And even at that time, Dr. Shankar, you were sharing that moment we were sharing was an illusion of a moment. It wasn't necessarily reality. Could you explain to us that concept of the split of what's reality versus what's illusion?
Very good. Man should understand the moment is real. Man should understand, but what is the moment? Man understands as a concept the present, but he has not realized what is the present. The present is the moment. The moment is the only thing which is there for man. And man does not understand that in the moment, the boundaries of time do not exist. Therefore, this moment which is present, it manifests an illusory life. Real means that which does not change, that which is eternal, that which is present every moment. But as man, through his experiences or knowledge, realizes everything changes, even his concept of happiness changes. And his concept of sadness too replaces that concept of happiness. Therefore, every moment projects an auditory illusion called the mind.
So the truth is, there is no reality because, as you said, everything changes.
Yes, the truth is, the truth can never be known.
Of course, of course.
See, man has come to do many things in his life, in the present age, as well as in many generations and in many centuries. I do not deny that. Man is convinced that he has done. Man is convinced that he is a doer. But he should take a step back in life and understand, has he done anything for the plants to grow? Does man do anything for the nutrients in the soil to go up and feed a plant and to make a plant grow? Does man realize that he hasn't done anything for animals to exist in this planet? And man must understand, has he really done anything at all? For example, man should realize that his mind, he has never seen it. His mind has not got a single cell in it which makes up the mind. And he should realize, hey, my body has about trillion number of cells within it, and I do not control a single function in any of this cell. And how come I could be a doer in life? Man should realize and understand that life happens to him and he does not make life happen.
I'd like to share with the readers also that your background is in medicine, and your PhD is cellular and molecular sciences. So you've actually come to this position through your own experience and going through your time in the laboratory, in your work, and in life, that you've actually kind of come to the schism of what is reality. I shouldn't say schism, but what is reality and what is illusion?
That is correct. In the lab, when I was researching into medicine, I was wonderstruck that I was examining a cell, a single cell, and I could not find any presence of any mind conducting the functions of the cell. That only startled me. How come man thinks that he can control his body?
Well, let me ask this. Why does man think he or she can control themselves?
Yes, man does not think because man cannot think itself. The thinking has happened to man's mind. This is how life has evolved and sophisticated. It has taken generations. Life has meticulously, precisely has evolved man and sophisticated his mind and the mind to convince the illusory ego that it is the doer and it can think and it can speak. Not at all. Man has not understood how speaking happens to him. Man hasn't understood how thinking happens to him. Man hasn't understood how a simple function such as a daily walk happens to him. To walk, man must defeat gravity to move his legs. Mm-hmm. How does the mind defeat gravity? No, his mind does not defeat gravity for the simple reason mind does not exist to defeat it. Walking simply happens to man, meaning a movement is recognized by the mind as walking, but nevertheless, it is a movement. Everything in life is nothing but a singular movement, a spontaneous, uncontrollable and unpredictable movement of light and sound, which appears as forms, colors and words and meanings. And man must realize that the life which he lives, the life which he thinks about, is not a life of actuality in time and space. time and space too is a thought in the mind. Where man lives is timeless and spaceless. Meaning, time and thought too is space. If a moment is all that exists, and no man can deny it, neither science can deny it. If a moment is all there that exists, which is timeless, man must wonder how come he sees so many forms in a moment which is timeless. Because form would require time to exist. Form would require space to exist, and a moment now has neither time nor space. So how does time and space also get manifested in life? These needs to be understood, and man will understand, because to the present point in time, life has made science also happen to man's intellect. Life has given a great degree of intellect to man, enough intellect for man to realize and even ponder how he is able to see a form in the now which is timeless and spaceless. Man will come to work out that even time and space is a thought in man's mind. Man will come to work out how the mind has manifested within a form called man. Man must realize only man has mind, not an animal, not a vegetation. All these things life will gift to man. It has already gifted, and we are talking about it. And a book called The Evolution of Mind is a starting point for man to realize what a magnificent illusion in which he is manifested too as an illusion.
Well, it seemed to me one of the big illusions today is our great honoring of the idea of the written language, where we said man's evolution has proceeded from his ability to write down and record his language and therefore share ideas and concepts. And yet, if we take evolution of mind to its journey or through its journey, there's a whole part in here where you deal about the evolution of words and words being symbols and communication being symbols and being forms. And it seems that that is man's need to put a structure on something. And so man needs to get beyond structure, perhaps, in order to get into a true understanding of the evolution of mind. Or do I misunderstand?
You're right, sir. Only through symbols and structures has life convinced man that he can do, he can speak, and he can think, that he can write. Writing, too, man does not do. Writing is a movement of his fingers. That's a sophistication movement of his fingers. A prehistoric man could not write. He just could not write. A sophisticated man writes. A sophisticated man writes means his movement of his hands and fingers has sophisticated so beautifully, along with a pen, which when he writes is not separate from his fingers. Mm-hmm. The pen and his fingers move together. And what is writing? Writing is nothing but ink, movement of ink on a paper. What is a letter? A letter is nothing but many dots joined together to form a letter. Mm-hmm. A letter is a symbol too, a visual symbol. A word is an audio symbol. Therefore, writing too has happened to man. It is a sophistication of life. It's a sophistication of man's movements of writing, walking, running, jogging, speaking. It's all a sophistication of man's movement in life, which appears as his job, as walking, as a plethora of words in his mind. Man needs to understand that. And he will. Life will make man understand. Life will make the understanding happen to man. Man cannot bring it about.
Well, I think part of the challenge is also for most of us, we have, and again, I'm going to have to watch it because I know I'm saying this wrong, but we have to, man has created our frame of reference for things. So we start defining things, which are illusion. We're there. But we define things, including ourselves, in terms of those symbols and those terms and those words, like you said, the things we do, the things we say, the names we apply to things. So how does man move from those definitional needs which we have in today's society beyond that?
The moment man recognizes and understands that which he has defined, that which he has structured himself to, the beliefs which structures him, the beliefs which gives him boundaries, and the beliefs which he operates within. The moment he understands that these beliefs, these structural systems, these definition have happened to him and he has not made them happen, that's the moment of realization for man, to realize life happens to him and it's not man who makes life happen. Every knowledge which has happened to man, no matter how revered they may be, no matter how exotic it may be, no matter what concepts man may have as knowledge, the question of healing, getting things done and getting things, prevent things done not to happen, get things done, how to bring up children, every belief structure has happened to the mind by life to convince man that he is a doer, a speaker and a thinker. And life has evolved man's intellect to a certain stage in this century. He'll make him understand too, hey, it was not what I thought it to be. The mind is not life and life is not mind. Mind and life is not synonymous. They're poles apart. That's the moment of realization that life is enlightened every moment. It is enlightened every moment because a moment has no words in it, no meanings in it, no time in it, no doer in it. Everything is a manifestation of light and sound. It is light which gives forth to colors. It is light which gives forth to form. It is sound which manifests as words and meanings. Life is a play of light and sound. And that man will realize his intelligence has evolved so much. He has not made it evolve. Evolvement has happened to him. Man's intellect has peaked in this century onwards. Life has will make man understand life is not what the mind thinks it is.
Well, let me ask, in the concept of the modern age that we're in today, can all men reach that point of understanding that you're expressing? And what would that do to the society as we know it today? How would that change it? How would that reframe it? How would that make it different?
Yeah. How? It's always refers to the ego. I, man, how, man. It's ingrained within man's mind. And it's not man who has made this ingraining about. The conditioned mind has come about. Man has not made his mind to be conditioned. Life has conditioned the mind to be the doer, to ask how. To be the doer, to ask why. To a doer, to ask purpose. What's the purpose? How will it be? How will that be? How will society be? How will this be? That is how my life has conditioned the mind. If man understands that it's not he who makes the how, if man understands, and man cannot make that understanding happen, if man realizes how or why or purpose cannot be applied to life, it can be only applied to the mind and to the ego, which is false. Then the moment he will realize to watch life in admiration as to how life will be every moment.
So life is an unfolding then?
Life is an unfolding, sir. You got that right. Life is an unfolding meaning not in terms of events. It's an unfolding means it's a flow. It's a river. It just flows, not an action-filled flow.
So one of the things I want to mention for the listeners is, of course, the subjects or the topics in the chapters, just so they have an awareness of Evolution of Mind by Dr. Vijay Shankar. And it starts with evolution, and it goes to evolution of mind, evolution of words, evolution of meanings, evolution of duality, evolution of languages, evolution of beliefs, evolution of feelings, evolution of emotions, and evolution of memory. And last time we spoke, I specifically asked you about the distinction between evolution of feelings and evolution of emotions. And how do we distinguish between our feeling and our emotions? Because we seem, again, my ego exercising here, it's at work. We seem to think that our emotions and our feelings are very intertwined in one and the same. And yet you've created a wonderful distinction. Perhaps you could explain that to us.
Yes, sir. Emotion per se is not plural. Emotion is singular, whereas feelings is plural. Feelings, anger, jealousy, hatred, misery, everything which is feeling. Feelings can be multifactorial, but emotion is singular. Emotion meanings is, literally means, the concept of mind. Whenever the concept of mind is lost by the ego, When the ego registers something as mine, registers and possesses something as mine, it may be an object, it may be a subject, it may be a plant, it may be vegetation, it may be an animal kingdom. No matter any part of this manifestation, the moment ego claims it to be belonging to itself, and if that is taken away, the concept of mine has been taken away, the concept of possession of mine, it loses. That's the moment that generates feelings. Therefore, emotion is only a concept of mine being lost by the ego. And that releases a plethora of emotions.
Well, in backing up where you deal about the evolution of meaning, one of the things that you also stress is that we've assigned these meanings to things. And meanings are based on that principle of duality, which is one thing can only be something if it's not something else. And that also is a tricky part that our mind gets wrapped around. Again, our need, it's an ego need, but our need to assign a meaning to something, a symbol to something, a purpose to something, or an assignment to something. And when you spoke about in the evolution of language, I felt that that chapter especially was one you wrote for the mind. And that was the one that I said, I think it gave the mind an understanding of how language is not static, it's not constant. When I assign a label of an oak tree to an oak tree today, and if I look at it 6 months from now, it's not the same thing when I assign the label to it. Or if I do it while it's a sapling and I say, that's an oak tree, and come back 10 years later and say, that's an oak tree. So the meaning has shifted, even though I continue to assign that same label to it. And I felt when you dealt with both duality in the evolution of meaning and the evolution of language, you were trying to tell the mind specifically, here's where you're not the ruler in the definition of all of these things. It's just what you have a need to do.
Yes, these are all the things of the mind, the functions of the mind, so that an understanding may happen to man that languages is nothing but sound. Mm-hmm. Any language is a manifestation, an evolution, and a sophistication of sound. Yes, I wrote it just to indicate what languages are. I wrote it to indicate the mind has many languages within it. And every language is nothing but a sophistication of sound. And duality, I wrote it, yes, to make man understand that any word is without meaning by itself. Any word derives a meaning only from its opposite, which means the opposite too is without any meaning independently. Every word donates a meaning to the opposite, which by itself has no meaning. Therefore, every word is again just a sound. Every meaning again is an illusory manifestation of sound, just as any language is. Therefore, this duality convinces the ego that the words has meanings and the words has labels, like how we mentioned the oak tree. A man too is a label. A dog too is a label. Man merely knows labels within his mind, not the actual nature of the labels. Man recognizes and labels the tree as an oak tree, but he does not understand what's the nature of the oak tree. And paradoxically, the nature of a oak tree is the same as the nature of man. Nothing but energy, which appears as a oak tree at one point in life and appears as a man at the other paradoxical point in life.
So within the concept of evolution of mind, where does, and I apologize that I used concept there, but within that, where does the idea of the yogi aspect of mindfulness or being aware in the present or being aware in the moment, does that play in? Is that a part of evolution of mind? Or is it something totally separate?
Not at all. There's nothing separate in life, sir. Mm. Everything is all inclusive. Man will one day come to realize that he lives in the moment. Mm. And the moment is timeless and thoughtless. And every concept of time or thought is knowledge in the mind. Every concept of time and thought is a sophistication and an evolvement of knowledge within the mind, which is not brought about by man. It's brought about by life to make the illusory world appear real to an illusory ego, the individual man.
Well, and my illusory ego has a couple more questions.
Understand. Only the ego has got illusory question.
That's right.
Understand, every question is illusory. There's nothing real. There's no real question. If there was a real question, that question can never be answered. If there was a real answer, that will never be questioned. If you realize every question can be answered and every answer can be questioned, which means the ego, being illusory, can only ask an illusory question. Even though it may be a scientific question, nevertheless, it will be illusory. Even though it may be a religious question, nevertheless, it will be illusory. Go ahead.
But I do want to deal with something that I want the listeners to consider reality, and that's the reality of the book Evolution of Mind, which they can go to www.acadun.com. acadun.com to purchase a copy of it. And once they get that, then they can start dealing with the illusion. But the reality is you have to get the book to read it.
Understand, the book too is illusory. Please do not consider the book to be real. No. The book too is illusory. Understand, it is only the illusory which can point to the real. The real need not have to point to the real, for where is the need for a real to point to the real? It's real, there's no necessity for it. Life has manifested in the magnanimous show that only the illusory can point to the real. The demise of the illusory will reveal the real. The real need not have to do anything to reveal itself. Why should it have to do anything when it's already real?
One of the things we talked about last time as well, and I'd like to come back to, is this idea that this is one of those books that people should read slow. This is not... One, it's not a book of fiction. It's not a quick read. They should read it. They should consider it. They should absorb it. And the concepts that you're bringing out even in our conversation, or the ideas you're bringing out in our conversation, are not something that people should just think about as an intellectual exercise. They need to really take them inside at a deeper level. So that takes more time, I believe, than just a quick read of the book.
Yes, I can only say this book should be taken slowly, read slowly, and assimilated slowly. But man cannot make that happen. If he reads it slowly, he will read it slowly. If assimilation happens to him, it will happen to him. If understanding happens to him, it will happen to him. Man just cannot bring it about. It's in a process of evolution and sophistication. It's so precise. Life is so precise. It will make that man who is required to read to it, he will read. He will assimilate, he will evolve, he will sophisticate, and he will realize, oh my goodness, what I thought the life was is not really what life is.
So I have to encourage you to get a copy of the book at www.acadun.com. Read it slowly, but as Dr. Shankar said, you'll read it as you read it. But it's the type of thing that it's worth considering and going back to again and reassessing those ideas in it. It's very easily written. It's not difficult to read, but it's something that you really want to consider. At least that's my illusory ego making a recommendation to you.
Such recommendations is normally not made by the ego.
Darn, I thought I got it.
Yeah, because these words, the ego will never use it, because these words come beyond the ego. Okay, even nevertheless, words are there. In such instances, it is the witnesser which speaks such words, because such words are not in the human mind and the vocabulary or in the memory. Ego only uses words which is in the memory, which gives it an ability that it is the doer, it is the speaker.
Well, what I loved about this book also is touching on so many of the sacred cows of what we believe or what we believe are real. You touch very much on religion and spirituality, and that gets back into that same issue that you brought up earlier. Nothing can be real that if it's not static and unchanging, and if it's in life, it's changing. So actually, even our beliefs, our spirituality, our religion, everything is a journey, and we're going through that journey. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a young man he's about 28 years old. We're talking about the dialogue in the United States and how it's so polarized on various political sides or various issues. And he said to me, you know, he has strong opinions about certain things today, but he wants to hear what other people have to say that have different opinions, because he doesn't know what his opinion would be tomorrow. And I thought, He is really so much ahead of where I was at 28 in terms of understanding that we're on an evolutionary journey. And that's really what you tell us in Evolution of Mind. We have to continually take information in. We have to reconsider everything, and we have to consider nothing the absolute reality in the moment. Or did I misunderstand?
You're right. You're right. You understood well. The point is, every individual with a mind has an opinion. He will be a sophisticated man, he'll have a sophisticated opinion, but opinion nevertheless. An opinion is nothing but a personal belief for it. When opinion gets shared by many, it becomes a belief. Every man has an opinion within his mind, no different from the other. An opinion per se is just very illusory, nothing absolute or independent by itself. It's dependent. It's only an opinion means it's only a matter of acceptance. I accept this belief, so it is my opinion. So opinion is only a matter of acceptance or non-acceptance. Life is not a matter of acceptance or not non-acceptance. It happens whether you like it or not.
It does happen.
Man should realize, and he will come to realize one day, sir, that how does he talk? How come the words come out from his body? Mm. Where are the words from where it comes out from? Is he able to see his words? Is he able to be very certain the amount of words that he will speak in a day? Will he be able to determine what would be the exact words that he could speak? It's paradoxical to man if he doesn't realize that speaking just happens to him. Words just seem to come out from his oral cavity. He has no control over it. It comes out and later he regrets about it.
In the United States, we seem to have a large segment of the population, at least this is my belief, this is my opinion, that want to be told what to believe. They don't want to take the time to explore or learn and try to decide what is.
That only clearly shows to you, sir, that that's how much people in America have evolved and sophisticated. If they are evolved and sophisticated, they will accept every other opinion too and look into too. It's not a matter of somebody does it. It just clearly shows how much people have evolved and sophisticated in any part of the world. It's the same in every part of the world. You go to any part of the world, there will be people there who don't accept or don't look into other people's beliefs or opinions. Mm-hmm. That's how much they were evolved and they are sophisticated. You must try to find a man who knows and realizes every opinion is right where it is. That rightness of every opinion is illusory. That's all the rightness it's about. Every opinion of every man is right where it is at that point in time and space. No one can deny it's not right for the man who just come into his mind. If it was right, if it was wrong, he will not ever accept it. Therefore, every opinion is an illusion, not an actuality. It's just a transformation of sound.
Well, you seem to have a hopeful outlook for all human beings in terms of our ability to really evolve in understanding and living and accepting where the illusion is and where the reality is not.
If I can correct you, sir, I do not have any hope because I trust life. Life knows what to do. Life will manifest itself. It knows how to handle life. Life is safe in life's hands, not in the mind's hands. For the simple reason, mind does not exist.
Well, I might need to apply a label to it, though. Would it be fair, although not accurate, to at least say you're optimistic?
As far as this moment is concerned, I'm happy life has happened to me. It has kept me alive. And I admire it the way it keeps me alive. For I realize man or his ego does not do anything to make seeing happen. The ego does not do anything to make hearing happen. Ego does not do anything to make smell happen, neither taste. More importantly, touch happens. These are the five sensations through which man can recognize the world and himself and the surroundings in which he exists. And none of these sensations man controls of. It happens to man, and it's happening to me now. I'm happy that I'm alive. I do not know about the next moment.
When is it appropriate to listen to the mind? What is the purpose? Well, what is the role of the mind if the mind is not the one that should be defining, directing, even assigning a meaning, a meaning? What is the role of the mind?
The role of the mind is magnanimous.
Ah.
Yes, because when do you ask me a point, when should man listen to the mind, right?
Yes.
Man has got such an opportunity that it's an opportunity and magnanimous every time the mind speaks. Because every moment the mind presents an opportunity for man to realize that life is a manifestation of light and sound and not of any actuality nor time. Mind is the greatest gift given by life to man. Without mind, man cannot admire the magnanimity of life, with this variety, with this diversity, which is implication of so many cultures, traditions. My goodness, what more does a man require to realize the magnanimity and intelligence of life? Man should realize it is the intelligence of life which has gifted the intellect to man to make him to appear as if he is the doer, the speaker and thinker. Well, he's not. I do not deny that man does not do or speak or think. Yes, man does, man speaks, man thinks. But he should realize doing, speaking and thinking happens to him and he does not bring it about. Man should realize what is this doing that man thinks is actions. Man should realize, and he cannot realize by himself, the realization will happen to him that doing is nothing but an illusory manifestation of a singular movement. Life is nothing but a singular movement of forms and shapes which depicts a plethora of acts for the illusory ego. Neither is an act a reality within the mind. Neither is it a reality in life. Both the mind and life is nothing but light and sound. Life is light, mind is sound. Life which my mind thinks is a play of this light and sound. Body per se is a manifestation of light. Mind per se is a manifestation of sound. Sound is nothing but light at a lesser speed. Therefore, It cannot be the mind which controls the body as what the ego thinks it to be. For the simple reason, the body is in the now much faster than the mind, which is in the past, not in the moment now. The past is illusory time. Even that does not exist. In the now, there is nothing but light and sound. Words and meanings are a delay in light.
What would you like people to take away from evolution of mind? And maybe I've asked that with the wrong choice of words. So let me rephrase it a little bit to try to maybe get a little more accurate. What would you like people to assimilate from evolution of mind?
The words that we use now will be very relative, but the meanings is not exactly what the words may convey to a mind. I would like man to realize that life happens to him and it's not him who brings about life. That's the message this book needs to convey, and that's why I hope, not hope again, that's why that's a relative word, because I'm telling you, word hope has a different meaning to me. I hope is my wish that one day man may realize life is much more intelligent than his mind. The only thoughts I would like to say to man is, do not worry. All is well. Every moment is fine in life's hands. And it will pass. Life will pass by. Time does not pass by. It is life which passes by. And the words which I like to share with people is, life is very precious. Don't lose it. Everything what happens to you happens to you. And the more you invest within your mind, and that investment too happens to you, understand the price you pay for such an investment in the mind is your life. Life once gone can never be got back. You cannot buy it in the supermarket, no matter how big the supermarket is or no matter where the supermarket is. Every moment life gone can never be got by. Can never. It is very precious. It's a flow. You are in it, in the flow. be consider yourself so magnanimous that life has included you in that flow. Mm-hmm. Man has not done anything on his part to be born in this world. Man has does nothing to get away from this world too. In between, he only imagines that he can do.
Mm. Well, Dr. Shankar, I have to tell you that this is truly a pleasure and an honor to have had this opportunity twice, as well as to meet you in person, to talk about evolution of mind, to become familiar with evolution of mind, and to once again have the opportunity to take these things in, to look at the importance of what the difference is between reality and illusion.
On my part, I'm also very grateful to you, sir, for giving me this opportunity to come and speak with you in person from a long way off from Amsterdam.
Yes, you are.
I've come across half the world so that man may listen and the journey may begin to man in life and end the journey in the mind.
Well, may all your journeys be full of illusion.
No matter where the journey is, understand it's always an illusion.
So we want to remind folks to go to www.acadun.com, acadun.com. There'll be a link on the goodvibrationsradio.com website. And you can go and get the CDs. You can pick up your copy of Evolution of Mind. And you can start dissecting your reality from your illusions, or vice versa.
The CDs which are present, archived in the Academy's website, deals with every aspect of the mind. It's not the general run-of-the-mill type of a CD which man gets of spirituality, this, that, and the other. Every CD is unique, different from the other. There are 890 CDs, not one is identical to other. It addresses every function of the mind, not how real it is, but how illusory it is. If man can get that, he would have has an access to it and listens to it over and over again, he would have made his journey into life away from his mind. So, and every CD addresses every aspect of the mind. Now, they're not identical with the other.
That's fabulous. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.